Hi, I'm Sarah Flower. Thanks for listening to KSUT. We're here with Leanne Jalan, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health, for our weekly update. Leanne, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. It's nice to see you.
It's been a big week, and it's a big week ahead. We've had public health orders that are in place, but I think fresh on so many people's minds, it's seeming as COVID is shifting into page two of the headlines, and the protests and Black Lives Matter is shifting to number one. And I can't help but to think some ways these are coinciding with one another. Let's jump into the protests and what this has been like from a public health standpoint.
Well, I think from, you know, a lot of people's perspective, there is more relationship and more overlap between the George Floyd protests and what we've all been through for COVID-19 for the last, you know, few months across this country. And, you know, there are definitely some people that think it's all kind of come to a boiling point together. So, you know, just to start from a public health perspective, there is a lot written about systemic racism and the effects that that has on families and, you know, the effect that that has on health. I mean, we know in this country that your life expectancy is different, you know, based on the color of your skin. We know that there are, you know, correlations between income and wealth and color of our skin. We also know that there are huge numbers of, you know, low education opportunities and then high numbers of incarceration. And all of that together has tremendous health impacts. So what we didn't know when we started studying COVID-19, you know, when we recall back in January and February, we were all kind of getting the first glimpses of it. I don't think that we expected by March we would see such tremendous racial disparity in COVID-19. But across the country, you know, there is numbers that say, I think it's something like, you know, maybe 15% of Americans are Black Americans, but Black Americans account for at least 25% of COVID fatalities. So there's some discrepancies there. And this is not uncommon to other things we see in the public health world around the different health outcomes for people dependent on, you know, both their income and the color of their skin. And, you know, from a public health perspective, these are things that we need to address and we need to address them together.
It's been over 2 weeks since downtown Durango and Farmington had protests about face coverings. And we're not seeing that big of a bump in our numbers, and you can tell me different, but I think that's also been a point of contention for some people of like, well, what is it like outside if people are protesting and they don't have their masks on?
Well, and you know, we've talked about this before on your show, which is we're all still learning about COVID-19. And, you know, I think the way we've put it before is, you know, we believe that droplets are the most likely route of transmission for COVID-19 through kind of an upper respiratory infection. And that is going to be, you know, most likely to happen in enclosed spaces. And then beyond that, about how easily transmitted COVID-19 is in outdoor spaces is, you know, the science is not quite clear. The data isn't all in yet because we're all learning about it. So as we put out public health orders, you know, you're starting to see the orders be more stringent for indoor activities and then maybe a little bit less stringent in outdoor activities. But, you know, for abundance of caution, we're still recommending the social distancing, the face covering, you know, the washing your hands, even if we're engaging in outdoor activities. So we've seen protests for the last couple of weeks, both, you know, locally around utilization of face coverings or advisories around face coverings. We're also seeing, you know, these social justice protests around the disparities that are faced by, you know, Black Americans. And so with that, there is going to be a lot of people paying attention to, well, what happens next? Does this lead to increase of infection? And I think in a couple of weeks, we'll, you know, some of that will come in and we'll have more conversations about, okay, what did we learn from this? I mean, I think we have to keep reminding people that, you know, COVID-19 is new and we're still learning about it. I think the George Floyd protests are reminding us that the other, you know, the the inequities and the disparity in health that we're seeing in COVID-19 is not new. We have decades upon decades of history of different health outcomes and different pathways for families in this country, depending on, you know, things like the color of their skin. And that's not new. That's playing out in COVID-19. And we're certainly seeing that here in the Four Corners region, where we have, you know, tremendous tragedy in, tribal neighbors and in Native American communities. And it's been really hard to be, you know, a resident of the Four Corners and see the real difficult times that, you know, our tribal neighbors are having containing COVID-19. It has led to outcomes and tragedies for families that are just off the charts. And so again, you know, this is what we see happen in America frequently, which is when we have, you know, a new challenge, the new challenge is unevenly distributed. And so we've seen that certainly in the Four Corners. Urban areas have seen it, you know, in other racial disparities. And as a country, you know, as we're trying to look to solve COVID-19, we should be looking at the full picture of how do we give everyone their best opportunity for their best health potential. We all deserve that. You deserve that. I deserve that. All of our neighbors deserve that.
You mentioned being outside and the transmission of outside, which I think is a great segue into the recent public health order of slowly opening things up to outdoors. Big news for people in the Durango area who were chomping at the bit for river outfitters and Jeep rides and that sort of thing. Also, some more information about pools and hot springs. And let's kind of break this down a little bit and how these baby steps help open up our economy and our region again.
June 1st, the Safer at Home executive order out of the governor's office transformed into Safer at Home in the Vast Great Outdoors. And then the public health order 2028, which is the one that is making the, for lack of a better word, the rules for Coloradans right now for COVID-19, also transformed into the Sixth Amendment of public health order 2028. And what the Sixth Amendment did is it kind of addressed some loosening of restrictions for houses of worship and certain religious activities. It loosened restrictions or made some clarities around gyms, personal services, and then of particular interest to folks in the southwest corner of the state, outdoor industries that tourists partake in and locals partake in and, work in that industry as their businesses. So that, those businesses are coming on and the goal, again, like everything else, is to do it as safely as possible, right? We have to have both things. We need an economy that functions and we need people to be able to return to work. We also need to do the very best we can to not have further outbreaks because, you know, outbreaks and high rates of transmission are also going to harm the economy. So what the new public health orders this week set out to do was bring some of these tourist activities back as carefully and safely as we can, given the information we have now.
Leanne, we opened it up to questions from our listening audience to which we heard some response back and kind of on the same page of what you're talking about. Marsha had wanted to know is, are you getting enough help from the state with contact tracing?
So here for La Plata and Archuleta counties, the contact tracing is happening by San Juan Basin Public Health. We're doing it all locally. So it is not, there is not a statewide plan in place yet for how we are tackling this as a state. And in fact, many of the larger health departments in the urban areas are not doing 100% contact tracing because they early on got too many cases, the spread was too much in the community, and so there has not been an attempt at 100% contact tracing. We have been doing 100% contact tracing to the best of our ability since the beginning of this event, and that's why we've had really good success at having low case count, but it is, at this point, a local activity. We absolutely welcome a statewide strategy and would love to participate in designing one, especially because we've been able to do 100% contact tracing down here, since the beginning of March. So we're kind of looking forward to see how that kind of plays out.
Leanne, anything else you'd like to add for our listeners here today?
No, just continue to be safe. You know, wash your hands, wear your face covering, keep 6 feet between you and others, and we'll continue to get through this together, taking one step at a time.
Leanne Gillon, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department, thanks so much for joining us here today on KSUT.